And now we welcome into the studio Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning, Lori.
Good to have you. Usually after every Fairhope City Council meeting, council meets the second and fourth Monday of each month. I have the council in on Monday and the mayor in on Tuesday. So I guess we'll talk about the agenda first and then whatever's off the agenda might want to be addressed. How's the crowds coming to City Council? It depend on the issue or...
I think it depends on the issue. Last night we did not have, we might have had a handful of visitors, but there was nobody who spoke under public comment at either time. And, you know, always the media's there. We had representatives from, you know, Lanyap and, you know, James Watkins is always there from the Fairhope Times.
And like you said, folks come out when there's an issue close to their heart.
They do.
And last night's agenda seemed pretty generic.
It was.
But let's hear about your report. The second item on the agenda after approval of the minutes from the previous meeting is report of the mayor.
I really didn't have much to report last night other than obviously we have, you know, still some street closures here in town. We have Ingleside, which is a water sewer project. We have, we've had to close Bancroft intermittently because there's a manhole there that they're repairing in that alleyway there. And weather has, hindered some of that because we have to do it as we is in between rain showers.
And then Fells and Church was scheduled to be closed yesterday.
And it was. Okay. But it's back open.
Okay.
It will be back open today. And then also, of course, the Church Street Infrastructure Project. There's still some continuing work there. We did talk a little bit about that last night because one of the agenda items was the change order for the Church Street project. That's a $5.2 million project. And we had a change order that didn't impact the contract. We still think that we're going to come in about $100,000. Under budget, but this was just some housekeeping items, things that need to be moved around and you know, change orders that go along with that project. So, which is, again, they pointed out last night the council did, it's less than 10% of that overall contract, which is certainly acceptable.
I'm glad you explained it that way because at glance, at resolution item number 12, the resolution appears that it's going to increase the cost of the project $463,922.
But it's not. It's still, it's just moving money around from maybe one line item to another. Kind of like when we make budget adjustments.
Right.
Moving money from like supplies to maintenance.
Okay.
It's the same kind of thing. So it did not increase that contract at all.
That's good to know.
Yes, it was. I told Richard Johnson that he should have led with that when he sent me the original email. Because, you know, you see that number and you're like, what?
I'm always going to pick out the big numbers.
Well, and you're like, that's not something we want to take to the city council, telling them, you know, on a $5.2 million project. And he was like, oh, no, wait. It's not going to change the amount. I'm like, you should just lead with that, Richard.
So, there you go. So are we still looking at the late October as a completion date?
Probably mid-October, maybe late October. You know, again, weather is a factor for us, but we're still shooting for that date. You know, we've made that commitment. The contractor knows that's what we're shooting for. And obviously, we start the holiday events and everything, so we really want Church Street open.
So what they're going to do once they finish all the underground stuff is then they're going to come back and repave
the
whole thing.
That's
from Oak to Fells.
That's correct. And even more of even Oak Street. So part of that's all part of the change order. So yes, we're going to pave everything. So the manholes you see sticking up, all that will be, you know, level, and the whole street will be paved.
Okay. Very good. Anything else on your report?
The other thing I just wanted, if anybody went to the football game on Friday night, you saw that we did some stadium improvements. Of course, we're always down to the wire, and we were again. That was a drainage project, almost $80,000 that was not budgeted. There was a sinkhole on the visitor side that needed to be repaired from a collapsing storm drain. So we went in there and repaired that and then bricked the facade of the visitor side. So again, weather always plays a factor, but the stadium looks great. The recreation department did a great job, and it was a great football game.
I thought you were going to talk about that incredible pick six in the last 15 seconds of the game. Oh my gosh,
it was fantastic. I was standing right there in the end zone when it happened.
Wow.
It was fantastic.
I must have watched it two dozen times. It's on our Facebook page, by the way, if you haven't seen it. What was it, Noah Ryan?
Phillips.
Nolan Phillips. That was an incredible play. If y'all missed it, please pull it up on our Facebook page.
And he is up for Player of the Week. So
anybody
who hasn't voted for him, please go and do that. I've shared it on my Facebook page. I think the high school has it on Pirate Nation Live. So please go vote for Nolan. He certainly deserves that.
Everyone was expecting overtime. And then
we were.
He just popped up right in the middle of the two receivers, got the ball, and took the money and run.
Yes,
it was amazing.
Did. And I was not looking forward to staying for overtime. It was hot. You know, the first Friday night football, I'm like, oh my gosh, we're fixing to go into overtime. Then I was like, oh no, we're not. It was great.
Yeah. No, it's not football weather that first game, but my goodness. The best video I've seen is the one that had the picture-in-picture of Jack Burrell and the team. And I mean, he's doing his best, Rod Bramble, with the Fairhope's going to win the football game. Fairhope. I mean, I was just chef's kiss.
And it was like, Fairhope wins, Fairhope wins, Fairhope wins, over and over again. So, yes, we were talking about that last night. But it was very exciting for the kids. And you're right. Everybody puts on their back-to-school, you know, outfits to go to the first football game, and everybody's sweating. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, which is why I watch it from the, you know, wonderful
comfort of your own home.
It really is nice, you know, mm-hmm. control your own climate.
That's right.
That voice is Cliff McCollum. He's my guest host on Swap Shop today, dropping in a bit early to join the mayor and I. Good morning, Cliff.
Good morning.
Final adoption concerning garbage, trash, and collection. That did not affect most residents as an increase, though.
It did not. It actually will give some residents a discount, because if you are in subsidized housing or subsidized apartments, you have been paying for garbage service, although you have a dumpster versus garbage service. So that will allow you to exempt yourself by filling out a form from that fee. But I want people to understand, you know, we've had people come forward and say, well, that garbage fee is something that I've been paying, but I don't receive the service. The garbage fee is not only for your garbage pickup weekly. It includes things like the people who pick up the litter, any kind of household items that we pick up, because, you know, there is a charge established for that, but a lot of times we don't charge for that. So there's a lot that goes into that, you know, cleaning of the parks that goes into that fee that's just not the garbage pickup that you receive. It's for us to keep a nice, tidy community. But we are going to be putting a graphic out on our social media to let people know, and putting that in an email, what changes are taking part as part of that ordinance. So people, you know, everybody should be looking for that. And if they have any questions, they're welcome to call Dale Linder at 251-990-0192. He can explain it, but it does not go into effect until October 1.
Okay. The next one is concerning right-of-way and excavation fees. Once again, doesn't affect residents, but for C Spire or other people, contractors that are digging up our right-of-ways. What does this mean?
Well, this was just really housekeeping. We passed this several weeks ago. It's a new right-of-way ordinance that, you know, gives the rules and regulations of anybody who's going to be digging or using our right-of-way. And this was where they had a fee in there that they had taken the old ordinance and kind of redlined through it. They had left the old fee in there and not put the new fee in there. So this was just housekeeping. It did lay over for 2 weeks, but it was just a couple lines in there that needed to be cleaned up. So that was it.
Number seven was renewing Mediacom's contract.
Franchise agreement.
Okay. Number eight was renewing consulting service for grants and grants management. Correct.
Correct.
Up to $2,000 a month, but like Corey Martin and I was saying yesterday, that's bringing in millions and millions.
It is. And there are some, this was discussed last night, but there are some, you know, contracts that they have that there is a separate line item in that grant for grant management. But these are for some of the smaller things that you see, like the ADECA grant that's just below that for a trails grant. You know, they help with that. They help with administering some of these smaller grants that that $2,000 every month is used for. And it is bringing in a lot of money, the grant management is.
And what is number nine? An ADECA grant requesting an FY 2023 RTP grant.
That's a trails grant, and that is for the triangle. We have a Go Mesa grant right at $1 million to put some trails through the triangle. This is for an additional trail through there, an ADA accessible trail. Any additional dollars that we can get will allow us to do just a little bit more on that piece of property and add some trails, because the initial grant really is going to cover one trail, an outdoor classroom, the parking area, a restroom facility, the kiosk, you know, a informational kiosk. So anytime we can get an additional grant to help with the build out of that park, we want to do that.
Resolution number 10 is for the city to contribute $400,000 to $1.5 million fire truck. Is that correct?
That's correct. And this will be, as you can see, This truck will not be delivered for 780 days.
Holy cow.
Yes. Holy cow.
That's a worse supply chain problem than I thought.
It takes a long time on these things, though.
It does.
And even before COVID, it took a while to get those.
But it's a 100-foot ladder. And this is, we have one ladder truck right now, and it's a 1999 model. So it's time for us to have a new ladder truck. We'll still keep the 1999 model in our fleet, but need to add a truck, and again, that's going to be paid for out of impact fees and the general fund. So we have enough time to be able to pay for that over the next couple years,
right.
And again, it will not be delivered for 2 years.
And number 13 is professional engineering services for the turn lane and traffic signal upgrade at Gayfer and Greeno, not to exceed $71,000.
Right. And that will be similar to the project that was done at Twin Beach in Greeno.
Uh-huh.
It's just we'll add a turn lane there. We are hoping that we do not have to close that intersection at all, that we can just kind of shift traffic. So that's the plan right now, and that will not start for the next couple months. So.
Okay. Anything on the next two items? It looks like some housekeeping of budget swapping or reallocating.
No, we
transferring.
Did. Yeah, just transferring money, just like we talked about earlier, like from maintenance to our supplies to maintenance. The other thing is we did have an add-on, which was the Witch's Ride that is coming back this year on October 27th.
Oh, good.
It will benefit the Baldwin County Humane Society. So we were happy to add that back on the agenda. They just, I think the last item they needed was their insurance certificate, so it was contingent on that. But excited to have the Witch's Ride back, and I know a lot of people look forward to it, and it's a great, another event for downtown Fairhope.
Very good. Anything else from the meeting last night you want to mention?
I don't think so.
And in work session, I don't have that agenda in front of me.
The work session we talked about, we talked about a conservation easement on the triangle. It's really not a conservation easement. We talked about doing some deed restrictions that were recommended by the Fairhope Environmental Advisory Board. That's something we've talked about we've talked about developing the triangle. We want to make sure that stays parklands. We thought that a conservation easement might be a little too restrictive, but the deed restrictions are something that we would like to explore again, so we started that conversation again last night.
How many acres is that?
It's 104 acres.
And is it, this designates that it has to stay parkland.
Right.
What about when we need a big civic center, and 30 years down the road, what do we do then?
Not put it on the triangle.
Wow. Where would it go?
I have no idea. I won't be here in 30 years, Lori. but that's why you develop a master plan. That's one of the things that we're doing right now with the comp plan and looking at land use to be able to identify those areas. But again, the city council and myself, and we want to make sure that green space stays green space, and that future administrations are not able to take that and build a civic center there or build a shopping development or anything like that. We really think that it's important to preserve that green space at the entryway to our community.
Would a performing arts center at the former K-1 center replace a civic center, or would just enhance and be another arena?
I don't think that it would replace a civic center, because they're going to be used for different things. I mean, when you talk about a performing arts center, you're talking about auditorium style seating, you're talking about a stage. The civic center is really more of a community center now. It's used for Mardi Gras, used for the performing arts center could be used for dance recitals, but sometimes you just need a flat space, maybe with a small stage that you can again host Mardi Gras balls, some of those kind of things. The high school dances. You couldn't do that in a performing arts center, because you typically don't have a large auditorium that's just empty,
right?
For dances and that kind of stuff. So we will need a community center, and we will need a performing arts center.
Let's talk about the proposed boutique hotel. This was a hot topic a while back when one was proposed in the heart of downtown at the Clock Corner. Since then, those plans have gone by the wayside. Now another boutique hotel is being proposed. Where is it? And tell us about it.
It's right across the street from City Hall and from the Art Center, where Dr. Miles Jones' office used to be.
That's right.
On that corner. It is a 14-room boutique hotel. And from what I understand, just in conversation, that, it'll be a hotel that you just pull up to. There's no staff. Everything's kind of, there might be one person there. It will be hopefully the first venue that we have that has a rooftop access, or rooftop bar, or, event venue that will be for hotel guests only. It will not be open to the general public. So if you wanted to have a small, bridal party there, you could have them upstairs for an event. So I think it'll be a nice addition to downtown.
It sounds like it. I saw quite a few positive comments, mm-hmm. and in addition to some of the regular negatives. But one point I like to remind people of how the parking works downtown, because you've got 14 hotel rooms and 7 parking spaces.
You do. And again, you know, hopefully they come in couples. Maybe, maybe not. Hopefully they would carpool. But we do in the CBD. It is allowed use to be able to allow some parking on street. We do know that, you know, parking is always a challenge downtown. They have looked, I know the folks that are developing that have looked for some off-site parking that they might be able to do a ground lease somewhere. If it's a, you know, valet or you park somewhere and then walk over. So they are exploring some other options. We do know that we want to optimize parking when we can on site, but right now in the CBD, it is allowed to allow on-street parking.
And with the Civic Center parking lot right across the street, that can be used for public use for anything, correct?
It can be. We have a lot of the folks who park there and go to the restaurants, mm-hmm. across mm-hmm. the street, or even the employees who, you know, work across the street. Some of them park in the on-street parking or park in the Civic Center parking lot. Mm-hmm. Obviously, that parking lot does come with a lease when somebody rents the Civic Center, and then you have South on the other end. So some of that parking's taking, but typically there are some empty spots there that can be utilized.
Corey mentioned that the developer on Ingleside and Nichols of the Nancy Lewis House mm-hmm. property mm-hmm. might be preserving and relocating the house. We just got into a tiny little bit of that. Do you know anything about that?
Corey and I have spoke about that, and we've talked about it. I did not think they were going to be able to preserve the house because it was going to be just too huge of an expense to be able to move that house. Also, you would have to find a location to put it. That was the other thing. So I think that it was in excess of $100,000 to move it. I do think they plan a historical marker on that site to let people know that that was, you know, her homestead. But not, to my knowledge, they don't plan to move it because of the cost that's involved and having to find a location for it.
No, and $100,000 for that kind of thing is actually relatively cheap. We had that happen back in Opelika mm-hmm. when I was still living there, and there was one historic home they moved from the Victorian section of mm-hmm. downtown out Andrews Road, somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000-$300,000,
yeah.
and that was back... Right. I was in high school, so somewhere between 2000 and 2004. So.
Right, and I think with a house of that age, too, I hate to say it, but when you start moving it, are you really able to keep it intact?
Right.
And the other thing is, I feel like you lose some of the historical, I guess, value of it when you move it. You know, the location where it is, you know, contributes to that historical value. So I do think you lose some historical value on anything when you move it to a different location.
And that development is scheduled to be... It's mixed use.
It's
retail, mm-hmm. restaurant, office on the bottom, residential on the top.
Correct.
Okay.
And it does have some on-street parking as well as some parking in the back. So all that parking will be, it's not in the CBD, so it will be encompassed on site.
Okay. And one final question or topic, if you will. In the past couple of weeks, millions of gallons of sewer has overflowed. At doing this job, I have noticed over the years fewer and fewer and less amounts in Fairhope as the infrastructure is improving and more lift stations are getting generators, etc.
Right.
But we did recently, we're a victim, just like everybody else. 6 inches of rain in 6 hours with an estimated 200 to 300 gallons
That's
of
right.
sanitary sewer overflow.
Right.
I've heard people arguing about it. So set it straight. It wasn't treated.
It's
but
not
it
treated,
wasn't
but it's
raw.
But it wasn't raw sewer going into any waterways. Again, I guess Lori that would explain it. It's diluted.
Yeah.
But it is certainly not something that people should be concerned about. It is because we have infiltrations. I think people, especially down towards the Fruit and Nut area, will start seeing a lot of smoke testing going on because we do feel like we've had some contractors in that area who possibly put some holes in some of our lines. And sometimes you don't find that out until there is a situation like this, mm-hmm. or people, you know, have a problem at home. So you will start seeing some smoke testing. And again, overall, we feel like our systems did really well, whether it be storm drains or the sewer system. So, you know, with that amount of rain, you're going to have some issues, and we are working every day really hard. The staff is working really hard to take care of those and to make sure that we don't have any sanitary sewer overflows. I mean, I told you before, and I'll tell you this again, nobody hates that more than me and the staff, because they work really hard and take a lot of pride in their job, as, you know, as we all do.
Very good. Anything else, Mayor, that you would like to bring up? I have not thought to ask.
I don't think so. Thank you, Lori. I appreciate you having me.
I always appreciate your time. Fairhope Mayor Sherry Sullivan joining us the second and fourth Tuesday of each month following Fairhope City Council.